It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Wisconsin's unemployment insurance system has struggled to keep up with jobless claims during the pandemic. We'll find out why that is and what it's meant for people who are waiting for help. First, Bill Martins joins us now, Central Time producer, because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. On this last day of the drive, listener donations are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. If you've been meaning to give, now's the time, because it all ends, this drive does, at 6 o'clock. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Bill, what are we trying to do this hour?
Well, we have a goal of 20 gifts, and a big thank you to all of you who gave last hour. This hour, once again, we're looking for 20.
And these hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussions going strong on the Ideas Network. Let's have a big finish on this last day of the drive. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars provide important funding for WPR programs, which do come from listeners just like you. Now, voluntary listener support is actually the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
You make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make your personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, you want a WPR water bottle? Well, this stainless steel water bottle is perfect, absolutely perfect for everyday use or your next outdoor adventure. And you can show off your love for WPR while supporting the programs you value. And that all begins with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you donate to WPR, you'll join more than 52,000 other members. Pooled together, your support makes up the largest source of funding for all of your favorite Wisconsin public radio programs.
Your support is powerful. You make possible all the WPR programs that you've come to love and enjoy and that so many others do as well. Make your gift right now. You choose the amount. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
That's it. It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the last day of our member drive. Again, looking for 20 people to join in this hour to stay on track. You make Wisconsin Public Radio possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you're going to be entered in an exciting drawing today. Check this out. How'd you like a $500 shopping spree to your favorite sporting goods store?
Well, I'm in.
Five of
you. Oh, wait, I can't do it.
Let you do that. They don't do that either. So, all right. So five of you who are not named Rob Ferret or Bill Martins or someone else who works at WPR are going to be entered into a drawing to win $500 at your favorite sporting goods store. No contribution necessary. You can see the details at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Oh, and sustainers making those ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's quick and easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That way you'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love, and you get automatically entered in these drawings we have during member drives.
Jessica in Fox Lake says, I enjoy my ride home after work listening to Rob and the interesting topics on Central Time. It just makes sense to contribute. And then Manny in Wisconsin Dells says, I prefer the vibe of Central Time to the national programming. It strikes just the right balance between regional and world issues. I could not agree more with you, Manny. Thank you very much to the both of you for your listening support and also your financial support to make Central Time and other programs on WPR possible. How about you? Is it do you enjoy the conversation that Rob has with a wide range of guests on a variety of topics? Maybe it's the interaction that the callers bring into the conversation. Whatever it is, put a price on that, and we'll put it to good use. WPR.org or 888 202-2552.
Thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, Wisconsin and other states were overwhelmed by an increase in unemployment insurance claims early in the pandemic and have struggled to connect people with assistance in a timely manner. The state's Department of Workforce Development says an outdated computer system is part of the problem. Governor Tony Evers and the legislature are debating plans to update the system and how to pay for it and what to do about restrictions on jobless benefits put in place over the last decade. In the meantime, many Wisconsinites have been waiting, months in some cases, for their claims to be processed as they look for new jobs and try to make ends meet. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this a familiar story for you? Did you or someone close to you lose work during the pandemic and have to wait longer than expected for unemployment insurance? How did that delay affect you or your family member? What would you like to see the state do to speed up the process? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Bram Sable-Smith is the Mike Simonson Investigative Reporting Fellow with WPR and Wisconsin Watch. Bram, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Rob.
Well, I know in some ways the state has caught up a lot with its backlog, but you highlighted someone who until very recently was one of the people I was just talking about, waiting a very long time, Brandon Kasich from Marinette. Can you share some of his story, please?
Yeah, so Brandon is a 40-year-old Marine Corps veteran. He's a father of two. He's a husband. He's an SSDI recipient. That means he gets federal assistance to help with his disability. He has seizures that limit his ability to work. He'd been working as a substitute teacher up in Marinette. And in March, just like so many people, he was laid off due to the pandemic. And he applied for unemployment benefits right away. And then he waited and he waited and he waited. And he went through, you know, the kind of administrative sludge that's held up so many people's benefits during this pandemic. And he actually got paid last Friday. So almost a year after he applied for benefits, he finally got the benefits that he was owed.
And his story highlights a lot of the problems you report on in your latest piece and that you've been looking at for a while. One, I mentioned the outdated computer system. And you shared an image in your piece that really brought it home to me of what it looks like if I'm working and processing these claims. I mean, it looks like a save screen from a computer game I might have played in like 1988 or something like that. This is old technology. Talk about how that has slowed things down.
Yeah, it actually dates back to the 1970s. The mainframe for the unemployment system relies on a programming language called COBOL, which is so old that when the pandemic came and the federal government created new unemployment programs, Wisconsin actually had to hire programmers out of retirement who knew the language so they could program those new programs into the system. I actually had an adjudicator who briefly worked for the department doing adjudications remotely from home. He got so frustrated using the system that he quit after 2 weeks and found some reporting that we'd done about the unemployment system in Wisconsin, reached out to vent because he found using the outdated system so hard and difficult and not worth the $16 an hour he was making. So there's kind of seems to be agreement that upgrading the Wisconsin's unemployment system is something we need to do. You know, it's a process that will take years. It's not an immediate fix. There's estimations it could cost up to $90 million to do. Governor Evers earmarked about $80 million to do it in his budget proposal. And some legislation has been passed by the Senate. Looks like it'll be taken up tomorrow in the Assembly. That you know basically agrees that that the system needs to get updated, but there's still some contention over how it's going to get paid. The legislature wants Evers to seek more federal funding, exhaust all the potential federal funding before requesting money from lawmakers to do it. But so it's a long-term process that could, you know, the next time there's a large amount of unemployment, it could speed up how quickly new programs, new benefits get programmed into the system. But it's very much a long-term solution. And, you know, I think it's also important to note, Rob, that it's not a panacea. Mm-hmm. Other states have updated their systems. Michigan updated its system about a decade ago. And that updated system, they're only as good as the programs that go into them. And that system actually ended up falsely flagging a lot of people for fraud. It ruined a lot of people's lives. It's a subject of several class action lawsuits. Florida has an updated unemployment system, the modernized technology, but just like us, they're experiencing these same kind of jammed up delays to get the benefits out to people. So it's definitely something that needs to happen, but it's not going to fix a whole lot in the short term.
One more point before we get past the technology, Bram, something you reported on in your latest piece for Wisconsin Watch that I don't think I had encountered anywhere else. A common criticism was, hey, why aren't we leaving our unemployment call centers open longer? Why aren't we taking calls later in the day? You write that the technology, the system, couldn't handle incoming calls and processing payment checks at the same time. So the calls had to shut down to get to part two of this. Did I read you right there?
Isn't that shocking? Yeah, that was a very surprising thing that we learned in the process of reporting this story. Yeah, so the system is, it has to do everything sequentially. It can only do one thing at a time. And so, yeah, it makes it really difficult to do something like expanding call center hours because you can only access the computers to do one thing at once. And if you're doing it to answer people's questions about the unemployment system, you can't then also be using it to process and write people checks. So it's a big hurdle.
We're talking to Bram Sable-Smith, investigative reporting fellow at WPR and Wisconsin Watch, looking at problems facing the state's unemployment insurance system during the pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has this affected your life? Have you applied for unemployment benefits in the state? Did it go smoothly, or are you still waiting? Did you have to wait a long time? Do you have questions about how all of this works? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Bram Sable-Smith, investigative reporting fellow for WPR and Wisconsin Watch, looking at delays in getting state unemployment aid to people during the pandemic and fixes to the system being debated now in the state capitol. Bram, we focused some on technology there. That's not, as you point out, the only problem. And going back to Brandon Kasich's story from Marinette, had to wait a long time to get benefits. It seems like a lot of people run into these snags and gray areas and bureaucratic hurdles based on changes to law over the last decade or so that can really slow things down. What kind of things are out there?
Yeah, so, you know, following the Great Recession, Wisconsin, just like many other states, actually had to borrow money from the feds to replenish the or to keep the unemployment trust funds afloat. These are the pools of money that the unemployment benefits get paid out of. And, you know, following the Great Recession, when Scott Walker took over, there was kind of a momentum that we didn't want to be in that position again. So during the Walker era, Wisconsin passed a series of laws restricting access to the unemployment system to make things a little bit more difficult. And, you know, there's some data to back this up that shows, you know, in 2007, Wisconsin, about 50% of unemployed people were getting paid benefits in Wisconsin. And by 2019, only about 30% of people were. So you can see that the access to unemployment benefits was really restricted. In Brandon's case, the biggest thing that blocked him was we passed a bar on people who get federal disability assistance, Social Security Disability Insurance, SSDI. We barred those people in Wisconsin who lose their jobs from also receiving unemployment benefits. So, you know, Brandon, who does get this federal disability help, when he was laid off and he applied for benefits, he found out that actually he wasn't allowed to do it by law. Now, there's a new type of unemployment insurance during the pandemic that was created last March. It's called Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. It's a federal program in response to the pandemic, obviously, from the name. And now people who collect federal disability assistance are able to apply for that assistance. But at the beginning of the pandemic, Wisconsin wasn't allowing, we weren't allowing people who collect SSDI from getting unemployment benefits, even the pandemic ones. So, you know, we're already one of only two states in the country who bar people who get federal disability assistance from also getting unemployment insurance. And we were the only state, it seemed like, who were barring people from collecting the pandemic unemployment insurance as well. So, you know, finally in June, that got reversed. Brandon was able to apply for pandemic unemployment assistance. And then, like a lot of people, he, you know, misinterpreted a question on his form. And that sent him into an adjudication process where he ended up getting denied. So he waited months to apply for pandemic unemployment assistance. He waited months to get denied from it. And then he appealed because he had a really good case to appeal that he ended up winning. And it took several months for him to get his appeal heard in front of an administrative law judge. So, you know, you remember he applied again initially in March. He finally saw an administrative law judge on December 23rd, who, you know, looked at his case for like 5 minutes and said, what is this? He obviously qualifies and you know, ruled in his favor. But that was a many month long process. And then it was over a month still after that for the benefits actually to show up into his account.
Let's bring on a caller now. Nick is with us in Wisconsin Rapids. Nick, hello. Nick, are you there? Nope. Doesn't look like we have Nick. Let's go to Trisha then in the Fox Cities. Trisha, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Trisha?
So I lost my job in March when the pandemic hit, and I immediately filed for unemployment. And like so many other people, I didn't get anything. I kept filing, and finally in July, I reached out to my local representative, and Dave Considine, and within 2 days, someone from his team got back to me. And then within 4 days of my original email, I got a call from the unemployment office, and a week later, I got paid. And so, you know, I just want people to know that there are things that you can do reaching out to your representatives. I couldn't believe how quickly they got the ball rolling for me, but they had my back, and they really helped out, and I get paid regularly now.
Trisha, thanks for calling in. Glad you had a happy ending there. But, Bram, she's not the only one who the system need a little kick. To get it into gear for her.
That's right. You know, I think I would guess that every state representative and senator is fielding tons and tons and tons of constituent calls just like this one. Certainly every representative and senator that I've talked to has talked about, you know, they have a list. They actually have spreadsheets of people who've reached out to their offices saying, hey, I think I'm entitled to these unemployment benefits. It's been weeks. It's been months. I haven't been paid. Can you help me out here? And so, you know, those elected officials are able to keep tabs in a way, you know, they can call into DWD. They can keep tabs of where things are in the process and follow up on those things in a way that not necessarily all of us have the ability to do it as with as much authority.
Thanks a lot for that call, Trisha. In our last minute or so, Bram, we talked to the relatively new DWD, Department of Workforce Development Secretary Amy Pahacek on the show. She said, and you reported on this, she was shocked when she first saw the computer system, and she's trying to make it simpler, make the language easier. You mentioned how easy it is to get tripped up on the forms in a way that puts you into adjudication. What's the latest in efforts to make it, you know, in normal human language to apply for unemployment?
Yeah, you know, the Plain Language Initiative, it's something that people have highlighted as crucially important. It's something that other states have taken on as well. And the idea is that if you have to, you know, you're not just doing your initial application, you're filling these forms out every week to qualify for your weekly claims. So, you know, in any given week, there's a large number of questions that you need to be able to answer. And so if you're able to help people understand the language better, maybe give them a sense of what questions they're going to be answering from the get-go before they get into the system and have to put it down, that could reduce mistakes, that could potentially clear out some of the administrative sludge along the way.
Bram, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Bram Sable-Smith is the Mike Simonson Investigative Reporting Fellow with WPR and Wisconsin Watch. You can find his latest piece on the state's unemployment insurance system. That's up at wisconsinwatch.org. Coming up today is February 22nd. Where'd the time go? And it's a perfect time to get going on your garden, right? You can't till the soil or put plants in the ground, but our guest has advice on the plans you can get started on. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Bill Martins is with me now. Your support is the foundation of funding for WPR programs. It's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great conversations. We're here now to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We got about 30 minutes left in this hour. We are looking for 14 more people to join the party. Thank you very much if you've already given.
If you haven't, it is the last day of the drive, last few hours of the drive. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Then your gift will fund the programs you enjoy.
So in that last segment, we were talking about the state's unemployment insurance system and the troubles that it's been having, keeping up with all the claims that have come in over the past year during the pandemic. And, you know, one of the things that I've come to appreciate about Central Time is, you know, we were able to talk about the nuts and bolts of some kind of an issue, but then we mix in these personal stories as well. And I think that's the stuff that resonates with people. That's what you remember. And I mean, maybe you've been affected directly by some of this stuff. This is the kind of conversation that you've come to really depend on here on Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Become a sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or your credit card, and that'll continue for as long as you want.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without, make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. It's a convenient and flexible tool. Get started now. Give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, radio is a great companion. It's there when you need it. And you can listen while you drive, while you get ready for work, clean the house, work out, shovel the driveway. I mean, whatever.
Radio makes whatever else you're doing better. Your gift of at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports this daily companionship.
And maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. And when you think about it, you know, a dollar a day is a pretty good deal. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda, maybe a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day comes out to about $30 a month. You can set it up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge to your credit card. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Got 30 minutes left to go. We are looking for 14 more gifts. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We count on you to help pay for all the conversations you count on each day here on Central Time. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Coming up later today, President Biden is planning to speak to the nation from the White House today at 5 about the milestone of 500,000 U.S. deaths in the coronavirus pandemic. You can find live NPR coverage starting at 5 on Wisconsin Public Radio or online at WPR.org. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We've got a few weeks of winter left, but it's actually not too early to start thinking about your garden for this year. Coming up, we'll talk about what we can do right now so we're ready to go when the time comes. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Rob Verrett here with Bill Martins. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting conversations. We count on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 12 more people to join in now during the next 30 minutes. That way, we'll meet our goal, and these hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation now on this last day of the drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Join us daily on Central Time from 3 to 6 o'clock, and you're going to get a wide range of topics to help you with the commute home. Today, for example, we're going to be talking about, gardening, as you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Last half hour, we talked about the state's unemployment insurance issue with all the backlog of cases. And then we're going to be talking about preparing for long-term power outages. And I think we're wrapping up with a look at the state's economy for 2021. Your support makes all of that news and information possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is the great thing. You can turn on the radio every day without an upfront charge. You don't have to, you know, plug a meter or anything. And then you enjoy hours and hours of great conversation, informative and up-to-date news. The list goes on and on. WPR is available to everyone because listeners like you help cover the costs.
Join in today. Become a member with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The new WPR water bottle is perfect for staying hydrated throughout the day. At home, running errands, hiking.
I think I would station my WPR water bottle somewhere nearby where I could see it, where it could be inspirational to keep me going through my at-home workout.
It's a great thing for you to take out on a day when you need to keep hydrated.
I would love to add the WPR water bottle to my water bottle collection because I have a really bad habit of leaving my water bottles everywhere I go, so I'm always looking to add a new one.
Ask for your new WPR water bottle when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
You can do that at WPR.org, or you can make a phone call, 888-202-2552, to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Bill Martins. Your support on this last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
So a $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to just 33 cents a day. That's it. That's a great value.
Make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you really do get a lot in return.
Absolutely. Now, maybe you've already made a donation this year or you're a sustaining member. Thank you very much. Consider making an extra gift of, say, $50, maybe $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this drive, and thank you for your extra support for the programs you enjoy each and every day.
Just under a half hour left in this hour, looking for 12 more gifts to hit our goal on this last drive, the last few hours to give during this winter member drive. You make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
As an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you're going to be entered in an exciting drawing today. Five lucky people are going to win $500 to spend at their favorite sporting goods store. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It is easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you do that, you'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love and get automatically entered into the drawings we have during member drives.
Kathleen in Rosendale says, thank you for reminding me to give. I like to donate once a year, and thank you for your programs. And Gretchen in Verona says, WPR brings me joy every day. Well, thank you very much, Kathleen, and thank you, Gretchen, as well, for your financial support. How about you? What is Wisconsin Public Radio worth to you? How about Central Time? Do you listen to Central Time every day for the great conversations, the variety of topics that we discuss? WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We could not do it without your support.
Gretchen and Verona, thank you. Kathleen and Rosendale, that's the ticket. How about you? Make your very important gift. You count on us each and every day for great conversations. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift at 888-202-2552 or give online at WPR.org. Either way, we really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for your support. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. February weather isn't exactly conducive to gardening here in Wisconsin, but that's not to say you have to sit on your hands and wait for the snow to melt and temperatures to warm up before you can begin. For starters, there's a lot of thinking and planning about what you want to grow and where you want to plant it. And if seeds are going to be part of your plan, you may want to place that order a little sooner than later, especially during the pandemic. And if nothing else, it's a fun thing to focus on during the cold winter days. Janelle Ware is the horticulture educator for UW-Madison Extension Marathon and Wood Counties. She also coordinates the master gardeners of those two areas. Janelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Before we get to the how, let's just talk about, you know, are you feeling eager to get out and working in the yards again?
Oh, you know, this time of year, really, I almost think that this time of year prepares us to really, truly appreciate springtime when it comes.
Definitely. Now, how important is it to do a little premeditated planning here for our upcoming garden?
You know, I think with gardening, it's like almost everything else in life. If you take a little bit of time and put some planning into place before you even get your hands dirty, you're probably going to be so much more successful in the long run. So right now, it's seed catalog time. Everybody's getting those seed catalogs in the mail. I always encourage all of my friends and family, take some time, kind of schedule some time where you can be quiet, get a warm cup of tea or coffee and a Sharpie and kind of, you know, just kind of go through that seed catalog and daydream on what types of crops do you think you'd like to grow. And then once you have that list, you can kind of narrow it down to what would be most appropriate given the local conditions where your garden's going to be located.
And Janelle, I've heard rumors, I don't know if I've seen data on this, that seeds during the pandemic, since a lot of people are looking for stuff to do around the house, a little harder to get than usual. Have you encountered that at all?
I've had a lot of reports saying that's true. I would certainly encourage this year, probably more than any other year, except for perhaps last year. It's really important to get those orders into those, wherever you plan on getting those seeds, get those orders in sooner rather than later, because those seed houses are having troubles filling the orders, whether it's, you know, having enough materials on hand, or I know that a lot of them have reported issues with staffing as well. So I think the best chance for you to get the specific cultivars that you're looking for, you're going to want to get those orders in soon.
And you mentioned seed starting. When should we think about starting seeds to grow inside in anticipation of planting them outside? And which kind of plants really work well doing it that way?
Yeah, so I think it's smarter to first just think about, you know, some plants are better off for direct sowing into your garden. Those are going to be things like your beans, your root crops, like your carrots and your parsnips, things like that. On the other hand, some crops have a much longer growing season than what we have in Wisconsin. So right now, off the top of my head, I'm really thinking about in particular that tomato family. So your tomatoes, your peppers, your eggplants, those you need to get started inside the house, whether you're starting the seeds yourself or if you have to get transplants. But either way, you can't direct sow those types of plants. So that's where I would start. And then I would be thinking in terms of, you know, there's cool season plants and then there's your warm season plants. Your cool season plants are going to be plants that can handle being kissed by the frost. So that's going to be most of your cold crops. Your peas will appreciate those cooler temperatures. Lettuce is another one that lettuce and spinach are another ones that appreciate those cooler temperatures. So you could go ahead and plant those directly into the ground, even if we're still going to have a few frosts coming afterwards. On the other hand, some of those, you know, warm season crops. And so again, picking on that tomato family, they do not like cold soil. So those you have to wait until a little bit later in the season to get into the ground. Another one that would be like that would be your green beans. You don't want to plant your green beans too early. So that kind of will help you figure out timing. At Extension, we've got a lot of great resources, including planting guides that'll help you kind of give you a rule of thumb on when's the best time to start different plants, whether you're direct sowing into the garden or starting the seeds indoors. Otherwise, I always suggest if you're talking about actual seed packets and you're trying to decide whether or not you should direct sow them and when to direct sow them, all of that information will always be on the seed package. The seed package has a wealth of information with everything that I just said. So when in doubt, take a look at the seed package. That's going to give you the best indication of when it's time to start those seeds.
We are garden dreaming for the spring with Janelle Ware, horticulture educator for UW-Madison Extension's Marathon and Wood Counties. Janelle, you mentioned figuring out which plants are going to be right for our growing conditions. And so apart from zucchini, which I know will grow anywhere, even when all about is blight and carnage, at least in my garden, what else should we be thinking about? Like, what's going to work for our particular setup?
You know, I think of, you just mentioned blight when everything's gone wrong. So the first thing I would do is, if you don't already keep a garden journal, start keeping a garden journal. And in it, take a look and see what are the types of diseases that you've struggled with in the past. That's going to be a great indicator to look for disease-resistant varieties. So that's right off where I would start, is disease-resistant varieties. And then when you're looking at your cultivars, you know, in Wisconsin, we've got a really short growing season. And so I would rely pretty heavily on, when you're looking at, you know, the great scopes of all the different types of varieties that there are for all the different crops, I would kind of choose to pay careful attention for the ones that have the shorter days to harvest. I've got a better chance of getting a really nice yield out of those, as opposed to the ones that our southern neighbors might be more successful with, because they don't have that first frost coming in as quite as early as what we have.
Now, Janelle, I know it might be easy to go back and look at a last year's garden layout and plant the tomatoes where I planted the tomatoes, the zucchini where I planted the zucchini, and so on. I've heard in some cases, hey, maybe it's not such a good idea to put the same kind of plant in the same spot year after year because they can be more vulnerable to diseases. How is that true, and is that a big deal?
Completely true. And yes, that is a huge deal. In fact, you know, so what we're talking about is crop rotation. It's taking the plants that you grow in your garden and kind of organizing them into families, plants that are genetically related to each other. So a few minutes ago, I referred to that tomato family. That's going to be, you know, your tomatoes, your eggplant, your peppers. Same thing with your coal crops. So your cauliflower, your broccoli, your Brussels sprouts. Those are examples of plant families. Now, what you want to do is you want to, when you're looking and kind of thinking about how you want to map out your garden, you want to keep plant families close together. Okay. Now, not too close. You still want to pay attention to proper spacing, but you kind of want to chunk one family together and then the next family together and so on. And that makes it so much easier for the following year for you to rotate your garden spaces by those plant families. Now, the reason why this is so important is if you grow the same crop in the same spot year after year, you're going to get a buildup of either pathogens. So these are going to be disease-causing organisms, or you can end up getting a buildup of certain types of insect pests, insect eggs, you know, staying in that location year after year. And by rotating your garden spaces by crop families, you can actually give that spot a little bit of a reprieve. So it's less, you'll be less likely to have those same diseases reoccurring. Or if they do reoccur, they won't be at such high numbers that hopefully you'll still get a yield out of your garden.
All right, this is microorganisms. Let's talk about the macroorganisms. What kind of work can you do early for people with deer who like to come in and browse, or people like me who have ravishing hordes of rabbits who will eat everything in the backyard? What should we do, and what kind of plants should we protect in particular?
Oh, you know, hungry animals are going to eat regardless. Generally speaking, I think your best bet is going to be using some sort of barrier methods. So I'm talking fencing. Fencing is probably going to be your best bet. I think the first thing that I would do, though, is just identify who's doing the browsing in your garden, because your approach for deer is going to be a completely different strategy than if you are trying to keep the rabbits or the voles or even the birds or the squirrels out. So identify the pest and then research what types of barrier methods would work best. As a second approach, you could use deterrents. So that might be sprays like they'll have like garlic oils and things like that inside of them. Some of those can be effective also, but you want to keep in mind, you know, if you're spraying your edibles, you may want to be paying attention to, even if they are fine to use on edibles, they might change the flavor. So I'm thinking like a hot wax spray or something like that might end up changing the flavor of your lettuce. So you want to be careful when you're choosing those deterrents. That's why I always say barrier methods are probably the most reliable and effective.
And Janelle, as we wrap up, I don't want to start cooking our veggies before they sprout, but is there an item of produce that you're really looking forward to eating fresh out of the garden this year?
Oh, my heart always belongs to hot chili peppers. I love to grow hot chili peppers, a huge variety of them. And then I like playing with them, making different sauces and giving them as gifts at Christmas time to friends and family.
Sounds fantastic. Janelle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Janelle Ware is the horticulture educator for UW-Madison Extension Marathon in Wood Counties. We talked to her about what we can do during the end of winter to help get ready for gardening season. Coming up, the blackouts in Texas have people asking themselves, what can we do to prepare our household for an emergency? We'll get advice on how to be prepared for the impact of storms and power outages. Right now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Bill Martins joins me now to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs you count on, and that is why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We are looking to hit our goal by the end of the hour on this last day of the member drive, last couple few hours of the drive. If you've been putting it off, don't put it off anymore. It's just about over. Get your gift in now under the wire. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That was a fun segment there, Rob. Just getting us, if for no other reason, even if you're not into gardening, just to talk about something that doesn't have to deal with the dead of winter. I mean, it was just a lot of fun, and I learned a lot from that.
Me too.
Like it's particularly about keeping the garden journal. Every year, I try to just make mental notes of everything. I've got to start writing things down.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that conversation. Regular listeners know that I do garden. I do grow veggies, or I attempt to grow veggies with mixed success. I personally learn a lot from this show with a lot of the practical advice, Food Friday and other conversations we have. Well, WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation makes these conversations that hopefully you learn from, same as I do, possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And ask for your WPR stainless steel water bottle. Your support for the programs you love will be on full display with every sip. It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it, and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
You can give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Bill Martins on the last day of our Winter Member Drive, last few hours of the Winter Member Drive. Your support is the biggest source of funding for all the WPR programs you rely on. That's why it's such a big deal that you give now. Maybe give $10 a month or $100, whatever amount you choose is the right amount to give.
WPR is probably a preset in your home or car, maybe your home and your car. You listen to WPR a lot, right? Now help pay for the station you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
switch from being someone who listens to someone who still listens and contributes. It starts with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example. Those are things you enjoy and that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide how much is right for you, how much you appreciate Wisconsin Public Radio, how much you're able to afford, and then make that gift. And do it now, because we're only going to be asking for a little while longer today, and then the drive is over. You can give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Looking for 10 more gifts by the end of the hour. You can help us get there. Help us hit one of our last goals of the drive. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for the new WPR water bottle. With the WPR logo front and center, you'll show off your support with each and every sip. And that can be yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Weird from Donna in Mequon. Donna says, I think you are all just great. I love the voices and I love the content. Sorry, that's Dorian. Dorian in Mequon. Thank you so much, Dorian. Bailey in Blooming Grove says, my favorite part of the week is Food Friday. Well, I enjoy Food Friday a lot. My only gripe is I get really hungry, and I still have to keep working after it, so I have to wait to eat. Otherwise, I really love it, though. Thank you both so much. How about you? Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the last day of our winter member drive. We cannot do this without your support. We depend on it, and you just like you depend on us for the great content. Make that gift of any amount right now. Give as generously as you can. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Can't do it without you. Make your very important gift right now. Again, online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you.